This is Brian Cambria with news for the Western Slope, Tuesday, May 7th, 2013. Fire consumed a large shed building at the Stahl Orchard in Paonia yesterday afternoon and evening. The fire broke out around 3:30 p.m. A large track hoe was brought in around 7 p.m. to help break down the walls and give firefighters access to apply water. There are no reports of injuries, and the cause of the fire is not known at this time. The closure of Highway 133 south of McClure Pass due to a rock slide will likely last throughout the week. Motorists traveling between Paonia and the Roaring Fork Valley must take a detour of about 160 miles through Delta, Clifton, and Glenwood Springs, or over Grand Mesa. The Colorado Department of Transportation said the highway was closed around 9:30 a.m. Sunday at mile marker 29, about 13 miles south of the pass and just north of Paonia Reservoir, after about 7 or 8 rocks fell onto the road. The largest rock was 30 by 15 by 10 feet in size, with another one about 3/4 of that size. In all, about 120,000 cubic feet of rock fell. One of the rocks left a 2-foot-deep depression in the roadway that's about 12 feet by 10 feet. CDOT said a similar-sized rock fall incident at the same location closed the highway for several days in April 2007. Sunday's incident involved rock from higher up the slope. Geology consisting of sandstone on layers of shale contributes to the size of rockfall incidents in the area. Crews have begun using pry bars and airbags to bring down threatening rocks. Once that is completed, it's called scaling. Then crews will blast rock on the roadway and haul it away. CDOT plans to post updates on the closure on their website, which is www.cotrip.org. Meanwhile, CDOT is continuing an ongoing rock scaling on the marble side of McClure Pass between mile markers 44 and 49. That work is requiring closures that sometimes will last 20 minutes or more, along with shorter delays and single-lane alternating traffic during daylight hours Monday through Fridays and some Saturdays. Ty Ortiz, CDOT's rockfall specialist, said McClure is ranked at the top of the agency's rockfall hazard rating system. The Western Slope Watchdog reports that although ratepayers have yet to feel the pinch, Delta Montrose Electric Association's cost of electricity in 2013 has been increased by an average of 4.9%. Tri-State Generation and Transmission, which supplies wholesale power to 44 rural electric cooperatives, including DMEA, implemented the controversial rates in January. The new rate structure, referred to as A37, is based only on energy usage and not on cost of service. It is triggering cost spikes of up to 12% for large industrial users of electricity, such as the North Fork Valley coal mines. According to a DMEA press release, rural electric cooperatives in New Mexico appealed the A37 rates to the state's Public Regulatory Commission and got them suspended. Now, 3 Colorado cooperatives, Empire Electric Association, La Plata Electric Association, and White River Electric Association, are making a similar appeal to Colorado's Public Utilities Commission. At the April 23rd meeting of the DMEA Board of Directors, the board decided not to join the 3 cooperatives' appeal to the Public Utilities Commission, but issued a statement of support. The DMEA board was critical of the A37 rate structure, saying large industrial loads would be negatively impacted, that it would limit smart grid opportunities, and that it would neutralize energy efficiency programs. DMEA implemented a rate increase in 2012 following last year's increase in power costs from Tri-State and is trying to avoid a similar move in 2013. Earth Justice, representing Wilderness Workshop, today filed an administrative appeal seeking reversal of the April 9th Colorado Bureau of Land Management decision that extended the lives of 25 oil and gas leases set to expire this year. These leases, unused for 10 years, are located in the heart of the Thompson Divide in the White River National Forest. The Thompson Divide covers more than 200,000 acres near Carbondale and includes 9 roadless areas. The divide consists primarily of mid-elevation forest lands that provide important habitat for a variety of wildlife and threatened plant species. The divide is also an important local economic driver that supports outfitters and recreation companies and is used for livestock grazing by ranchers. During the Bush administration, the BLM issued a series of oil and gas leases blanketing the Thompson Divide. Included in those sales were the 25 leases at issue in today's appeal. When considering the suspension request, the BLM found that the leases were sold in violation of the National Environmental Policy Act. Moreover, while most of the leases lie in Forest Service roadless areas, they lack any express stipulations protecting these pristine lands. Unseasonably cool and wet weather throughout April have boosted Colorado's snowpack to near-normal accumulation totals. According to the USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service, or NRCS, after an entire month of favorable storm tracks, May 1st snow surveys showed that the statewide snowpack percentage climbed to 83% of median from 74% of median measured on April 1st. April is typically the month in which the snowpack in Colorado begins to melt and the runoff season begins. This season, peak snowpack totals for the state were not reached until April 24th, over 2 weeks later than the long-term average date of peak accumulation. Statewide maximum accumulation totals for 2013 ended up being 80% of the normal seasonal maximum. The moisture-laden storm systems that moved through in April were mainly focused on northern Colorado, while missing the southwest portion of the state. As of May 1st, the Rio Grande reported snowpack totals at 41% of median, and the southwest basins were at 43% of median. Both basins reached their seasonal peak snowpack in early March and began melting out in April. With the additional snowfall in April, the water supply outlook has improved for most of the state's 7 major river basins. While most forecasts across the state still call for below-normal runoff volumes this season, some of the forecasts for the headwaters of the Colorado and South Platte basins are now nearer to average. Statewide reservoir storage volumes are currently 74% of average, which is 68% of 2012's volumes. The good news is that in the northern basins, the recent snow accumulation has yet to run off and should help improve storage and extend water supplies further into the summer season. In the southern basins, storage levels remain low. It's fairly common knowledge that land and fire managers anticipate a very severe wildfire season this year. The Associated Press reports that the U.S. Forest Service is gearing up by adding 7 planes to its large air tanker fleet, planes that fly faster and will drop a bigger payload of fire retardant than in the past. The long-anticipated contracts announced Monday total $158 million and include several models of aircraft, including one for a converted DC-10 that's bigger than anything the Forest Service has used on a regular basis. The newer planes join the aging fleet of 8 large tankers, mostly Korean War-era submarine chasers. The agency says the new planes can meet the same demands as the larger fleet of smaller and slower aircraft of years past. The large air tanker fleet has dwindled from 46 in 1990, partly due to a series of fatal crashes. Thus concludes today's newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria. Good day.